Wonderful to be back again. It has been, I told Brother Son, I can't remember the last time I filled the stand here, but I guess a little part of the communion service in September, but before that it had to be June, but I do miss you. Always good to come home. Brother Philip, I think my song effect, I trust the Spirit was leading you, and now your song has kind of altered my thinking. Hadn't changed my subject, but just I guess I want to start at the end and come back to it. I don't know. Granddaddy always said some people take a text and preach to it, some preach from it, and some preach all around it. So, but all is well. That just, what a song. What a message. Acts chapter 7, we have Timothy. I mean, Stephen's his name, yeah. First deacon, but here we find him a-preaching. He's preaching now, so, and he preaches this, I think, Brother Sonny, recently, is probably the longest sermon in the Bible when you studied it out. We have recorded in Scripture. But he preached this, and they didn't like it. It says they were cut to the hearts. Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. They were pricked in their hearts. But here they were cut to their hearts. They gnashed on him with their teeth. He went through this and this horrible thing of that. When they heard, I'll start in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They bit him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, that's kind of what's on my mind this morning, being full of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit in these things. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." They cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I tell you, I believe, had the song been written, Stephen here could have said, "All is well. I'm going through this, but all is well." That's what we call dying grace. It says, "And he being full of the Holy Ghost." That reminds me of the song, "My heart can on this promise live, can on this promise die." I've had the privilege of being at the bedside of those were about to pass on, pass away, and you could see that they felt that all is well. You could see that they being full of the Holy Ghost, and I tell you, the Holy Ghost took Stephen all the way to the end there. It says he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you, can you just imagine, if you will? We see this and we think, what horrible things to go through. People biting him, people stoning him, hating him for the things he said. But he said he looked up into the heaven and saw Jesus, I tell you, because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I think of that, and I think there's two ways I'm looking at this, and they're going to mingle, and I've been trying to separate them out, and it's just hard for me. But how the Holy Ghost dwells with us individually and as a group. We can go to John. Let's go to John chapter 4. Now I'm going to jump to the beginning of what was on my mind. John chapter 4. Oh, you just think on the periods of the world, the historical ages. Well, I tell you, I can divide them into three groups. Back in the Old Testament days, God spake to Moses out of a burning bush. God spake to our fathers by the prophets. But they were looking to a day, weren't they? They were all, you can read the Old Testament about these, and they were all looking to a day. Oh, you can see it in the last book of the Old Testament, where it says, "Then shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings," looking for that day. Oh, the dawn of redeeming grace, looking for the Messiah, our Savior, to be born. Looking for that day. And then that day came. And then they dwelt with the man, Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. They walked with him. Oh, I always think of that. And you think, oh, how great that would have been. Well, I tell you, all of those that walked with him didn't walk with him all the way to the end. They all denied him in one way or the other. They all were gone. Like when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep are scattered. But here he's talking. And you can just look. Jesus, in all of his, in that time, he was pointing to his Father. To my Father. I came to do my Father's will. And this is my Father's will, that of all that he should give me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And then here in John 14, we're getting ready. The Lord Jesus is preparing them for the next age, if you will. He says, he starts it off with, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." What a way to start this chapter, and what he's about to tell them is he's leaving. And he says, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Wow. I told you I'm trying to separate these two things out. He's going to dwell with you, and he's also in you. Oh, I tell you. Let's hold on to that. I didn't even know that was there. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye live also. Ye shall live also." Chapter 15. Towards the end he says, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father," what's he going to testify about? "He shall testify of me," Jesus said. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Chapter 16. He says, "Because I have said these things unto you," that I'm going away, "sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not upon me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." He couldn't go to the Father except that he were righteous. "Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Dad mentioned in his prayer, we're living in a terrible time. That's good. That's true. Yes, we know we are. And I think we ought to acknowledge it. But I heard a sermon a few weeks ago where that was what the sermon was about. How horrible the times are. And I said, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. But I tell you, there's an aspect where we're living in the greatest period in the world. After the revelation of Jesus Christ, let every man be found a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I tell you, I trust in this house, in the house of God, in the house of God, God is professed to be true, and his Spirit dwells with us here. Oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters, don't take for granted. Don't let the world get you down. Don't dwell on the negativity of this world, because the power of Satan, he is a divider. He's a murderer. He tries to divide churches, to divide families. We've seen it. He's a liar. From the very beginning, the father of lies. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, when we come into his house, when we come here where his Spirit dwells, how do we know his Spirit's here? Well, the most obvious to us is that did not our hearts burn within us? Like those on the two on the road to Emmaus. Not Damascus, Emmaus. Those two were on the road to Emmaus, and who was there with them? Jesus. But they knew it not. Their eyes were beholden that they should not behold him. Oh, but I tell you, when he sat at the table and broke bread with them, I tell you, their eyes saw him. And that's when they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I tell you, brothers and sisters, to our shame, even in our lives, well, there's been times when he was here and we knew it not. Oh, Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Sometimes we have that. But that's the most obvious thing. And whenever we feel it, did not our hearts burn within us? But remember, it says he's going to reprove and all these things. There's also times whenever we're made to feel our guilt. That's when we might say, oh, preacher, you were stepping on my toes. Well, the preacher says, well, I was aiming for your heart. What I say is, you should feel my toes. I'm stomping all over them. That's the Spirit of God as well. Whenever we feel that. Oh, but I tell you, like I always say, like Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. If I preach a sermon that convicts you and leaves out the comfort, I'm not happy with myself. I'm not going to leave you in total depravity if I can help it. That sounds funny saying. You know what I mean when I preach that. Because the Lord didn't leave you in total depravity. I tell you, he got you out. Oh, he dwells with us. And when you feel that, when you say, the Lord was in this place, that's exactly what it is. It's no less God with you than if Jesus Christ were standing with you right now. That's how much. Oh, I love that verse. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I tell you, a little bit of, if I ever get to it, I don't know, but we'll get to it now. Talking about the Spirit is in you and it's going to dwell with you. I've asked the trick question, is worship a group thing or a personal thing? Yes. Yes, it is. It's both. Because we come together, and we know now, don't we? We know the importance, if we didn't a few years ago, of congregating, of joining ourselves together. That's what church means. I don't know exactly, but it's the gathering together. But, oh God, in His all-powerful ways, is able to take something and feed you. And maybe take the same thing and feed you in a different way. What do you need? I don't know. Man, I tell you, I got to be careful not to sound like I'm bragging, but like the other day, a brother comes up to bring his Bible up in the handshake. And he says, look, I was reading right here where you were preaching from. That's not me. He said, how do you do it? I said, it's not me. It's God. He knows what you need. And when you have that moment, remember, that's Him thinking on you. If I can phrase it like that, this, it sounds silly sometimes to use humanistic words, if you will, to describe Him, but that's all we got. His ways are above our ways. But He who made the world, who spoke it into existence, He who hears every petition of His children, thought on you. Oh, how great does it feel whenever someone of importance or someone who you know is extremely busy, has a busy life, but they stop just to acknowledge you, to take time to be with you, or whatever the case may be. Well, I tell you, our God, if you will, takes time. Like I said, it sounds weird to say, because it's, what is it to Him? What is it to Him? But He takes time, if you will, to feed you. Oh, I just am puzzled sometimes. Oh, it reminds me of how the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 says, I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I tell you, whenever you've seen it in action, when you've seen it, that's when I can say I'm not ashamed of it either. Why would I be? Because it's just out of this world experience, if you will. It is the power of God. And it's got to come by His Spirit. Now the Lord Jesus is telling of a day. And I'm going to maybe just talk now. Telling of a day that I'm going away. I know that crushed him. It had to. Because look at the words again of those two on the road to Emmaus. Because we trusted that He should have delivered Israel. Look at the two there when He went up. Not the two, the many. They saw Him ascend into a cloud. Acts 1. And two stood by in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the clouds? This same man who ascended will descend in like manner. Says, y'all quit looking up there. Because in the next chapter, you're about to be with God once again. They didn't know the next chapter. They didn't say the next chapter, but that's when it happened. You're about to be with God. And there they were on the day of Pentecost. Oh, and it says the Spirit of God came in like a rushing wind.
Oh, we don't.
I never felt that. Actually, I think I have. I have. Where it was just a rush through a congregation. And that's God with them. They spake in tongues everyone understood. They understood in their own tongues. Oh, and they were pricked in their hearts. And it caused them, didn't it? It caused them. Oh, man. That's, I don't want to get on what got me riled up about that brother preaching, but he just preaching how he said this phrase. He said it. Liz was there, and me and her were just, we weren't sitting, I was sitting with Liz, so we could talk about it. He says, it's so bad, and all us old Baptists are doing are rocking and being rocked to sleep in the cradle of grace. And I was like, hold me back. I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes in the gospel, it does not breed, if you will, in me an attitude of do nothing. Oh, it's just the opposite. It's like that rushing wind. And it's like I want to unfurl my sail and ride it. And spend and be spent in His service. When you see grace for what it is, when you know what you are, when the Spirit of God, I tell you, it is a complicated subject. Just thinking on the Spirit of God. Because one, He puts His Spirit in you. And then He says, I'm sending it to you. I'm sending it. He called it the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Romans 8 says, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. That's the Spirit He put in you. Oh, I tell you, it's almost, I look at it as like two long lost friends meet. Oh, there we are. We meet together in our soul. They meet together in our souls. And I tell you, there's a harmony in it when that happens. When that happens, it's words that were penned in situations like that, like, all my days, I want to serve Him. Now, we know we fall, don't we? But I tell you, whenever the gospel's preached and we're receiving it by His Spirit, no, I'm not asleep. I'll tell you what does rock me to sleep is bad preaching. But I ain't figured out how to sleep while I'm preaching bad. Oh, but His Spirit. And it just, on the day of Pentecost, it came. Now I want to go to Acts chapter 4, talk a little bit. Oh, and Apostle Peter, just look at him. I tell you, just think, I don't have anything, and then I hope I don't preach 2 hours. It's one of them. Oh, here's the Apostle. Just look at the Apostle Peter. Look at the difference the Spirit made in him. He denied the Lord. We like to make fun of him, don't we? I'm going to try to quit doing that so much, because everything he did, I've done it. I probably have done it more than him. Like someone says, oh, we make fun of Peter for sinking in the water. He got out of the boat. Would you have gotten out of the boat? I don't know. But he did. He denied the Lord 3 times. The Lord even told him, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I tell you what converts. The Spirit borns again, and the Spirit converts. They're 2 different things, remind you. And that's an importance that we must know. Was Apostle Paul born again or converted on the road to... Both, I reckon. But the Spirit born him again. And then what did he do? The Lord sent him a preacher. And then he was baptized. And that, just look at the Spirit in all these things. Now I'm getting, I don't know what I'm getting. Not ahead of myself, behind myself, beside myself. But Peter, he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, just think what he went through. But look at the Lord, the way he works. Well, if Peter was employed by someone other than the state, he'd have probably got fired. They don't fire many people at the state. You got to mess up pretty bad. But you know, he messed up, and done with you. Let's move on to someone else. No, but the Lord used the same one that denied him. The same one that, though he had the faith to step out, lost the faith, took his eyes off Jesus and sunk. The same one who was apt to speak out, to get ahead of himself, to speak without thinking, if you will. Man's way would say, we got to find someone else. This guy's a loose cannon. But no, God says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it was Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter that first preached to the Gentiles in the same way as it was. And that was proof to them. Talk about his Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. That's what they used. You can look at Paul's letters. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel came not in word only, but in power and demonstration and with much assurance. That's what the apostles used as proof that the Lord was with them and that you were children of God. And so here we are in the fourth chapter. And we got Apostle Peter. They were upset. They had healed, Peter and John healed the lame man in the previous chapter. Then chapter 4 starts, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Threw them in jail. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. That's a lot. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Well, this is Peter, who a while back, as Jesus was being led, who's being tried before a mock trial, led to a cross to be crucified. They asked him, you're with him. We know you. You're one of his disciples. He says, I know not the man. Again, they came to him again. You're with him. You're one of his. He says, I know not the man. And then a third time they came and he cursed. He cursed. He says, I know not the man. They said, your speech betrayed him. But he said, no. But here, when he's been thrown in jail, thrown in prison, and they ask him, how are you doing? By what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I tell you, there's some boldness there. You don't like this man. You crucified him, but God raised him up. And it's by that man, Jesus Christ, that's how this man's standing whole. I tell you, you want to talk about a boldness. What is it, meek as a dove and bold as a lion? I don't know. I tell you, how can we be bold in a terrible time? I tell you, we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You go on throughout this as he preaches this. This stone, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. He goes on and on. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, these are dumb. They're dumb. They're ignorant and unlearned. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I tell you, brothers and sisters, when the Holy Ghost is with us and gives us all boldness, they can't speak against it. Now we go on. Well, they said, well, we can't say anything against it, but at least we can keep it from spreading, maybe. Why would you want to? But anyway, they did. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They were let go, went to their own company. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? I'm getting down to something here. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they with all boldness may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. That is a prayer they're praying. And then verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I tell you, that's a fire that's spreading, a fire that's a catching. Oh, First Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke boldly. I tell you, brothers and sisters, when we come in, there you have the individuality where Peter was first filled with the Holy Ghost, and then it just spread like fire. You can go back to the Pentecost, a day of Pentecost. It talked about a fire there. And it just spreads over. And then we're all bold. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, as we talk about and when we do acknowledge that the times we're living in are terrible, there's bad things going on out there. I tell you, there's darkness in the corners of the world that would just make us shudder, I believe. But I tell you, may we go into the world with boldness. We don't have to go over beating people over the head with the truth. But I tell you, may we stand on the ground and may we stand boldly for what is right. I will not move because the Lord is with me. Oh, there's a boldness with the Spirit of God. And I tell you, some of these instances, sometimes it's like the Lord just pours His Spirit in us, if you will. But there's a way also. There's some work for us to do. And there is a way, if you will. There's instances, as we've read some of these. Like the day of Pentecost, that was just all God right there. I mean, He just poured it out on them. But what about our daily walks? It's like we know that our inward man is fit for heaven right now. And we know we're in a warfare. It's for the mind, right? What controls the mind? Inward man, the desires of the flesh. And it's like we've got a cup in us, if you will. And what we pour in. I heard some, maybe as a preacher that was a computer programmer or something. Good in, good out, trash in, trash out, I don't know. I'm looking at Greg. He's just sitting there, so I don't know. How can we work at this and be filled with the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit." Now, I think He's telling us not to be drunk there. But I think He's also showing a picture. How do people get drunk? Well, they partake, if you will. But He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, how can we do that? Then He says, let's bring it back full circle to all is well. To those songs we sing. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's one way. Singing these hymns. Now, I've tried to break them out and figure out what's... Just sing some good songs, not bad ones. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make melody in you. You know, when I was over there in North Carolina, they got a real big kick out of me. I don't even remember what brought it up, but I was talking about singing. And I told them my granddaddy called it open letter singing. Open your mouth and let her fly. They just ate that up. But I tell you, when we're in a congregation, I don't know if it's like this with y'all, but I can have a subject on my mind all week, and I wake up the morning I'm supposed to preach it, and I think it's the worst thing ever. I'm like, I don't even know it. I ain't studied this like I should, and I'm probably wrong on this, and every little thing just seems to rise up. Say, this is a Jeb, you're dumb. This is not going to work. But then you come in and assemble yourselves. And what do? We start singing. And then the Spirit comes with us. And the Spirit, there will I be amongst you, he said, singing praises. And then the doubts start to fade away. There's still a fear. There's still a, I can mess this up. But I'm like, yes. Oh, so-and-so picked this song. Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. I tell you, God's not just limited to work in preaching. He can speak to you in songs. And he says, that's one way. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Next thing, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's praying right there. Giving thanks. Oh, a lot of times we think praying is only asking. Or we don't think that, honestly, but we might find ourselves doing that. But I try to make it a point when I go to the Lord in prayer, always, always, always thank Him first. Because He's been so good to me. Thank Him. For the, and hey, why not have a complete prayer thanking Him? Go to Him in prayer. Acknowledging Him, thanking Him. Then it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It reminds me of Philippians chapter 2. If there be any bowels of mercy, if there be any, Philippians is right here, I can handle that. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How can we do that? We're different people. We know we're different. We've got different things we enjoy, different things we think should be done in the world or whatever. But I tell you, how can we be like-minded whenever people are so different? I tell you, it's going to tell you. It's going to give us the example. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Who am I? Who am I? I tell you, we're a congregation. We're the Lord's people. And if there was anyone in this world who could say, this is who I am, it's my way or the highway, if you will. And that was Jesus. He had the power. He even had the authority. He had the power that when they came to take him, whom seek you? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They immediately fell back on the ground. But it says he humbled himself and took on him the form of, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But back up, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Back to Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves, one to another, in the fear of God. That is another way to be filled with the Spirit. Service, one to another. Another service to each other in the church is service to God. And it's not just the pulpit. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the deacons. It's not just the brothers. It's not just the old. It is everyone has something to do in the kingdom of God. And brothers and sisters, may we serve each other. May we put away our differences and be at each other's feet. We have the most beautiful picture in the feet washing service, where we bow at our brother or sister's feet the same way that the Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation and bowed down at our feet. As much as you've done it one to another, you've done it unto me, the Lord Jesus. Oh, we've got ways where we can fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. And we've seen through Scripture what happens being filled with the Spirit of God. Boldness. We can be bold in troublesome times. I tell you, it's a beautiful thing. And we've seen how it works. Oh, maybe you feel like you're alone. But remember, fire spreads. Fire spreads, just like with Peter. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they were all filled. The Holy Ghost. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Ah, that's not a reason to promote yourself. But I tell you, when you feel the Spirit of God moving, get to moving. Get to moving and follow Him. And that is God with us when you feel that. Come ahead, brothers.
I am beyond words. I've had a subject on my mind, and I've been trying to preach it, and I hadn't got to it yet. And I've had the subject there for close to a month. And if this was another time and another place, what Brother Jeb has just preached to us would be a perfect segue into what I have had a burden to try to preach, and Lord willing, unless my mind changes, I will try to make that effort tomorrow. And that takes boldness, by the way, to say something like that. But don't forget what we have heard. Glorious, glorious preaching. It's one thing for a man to preach Christ. It's a whole different thing for Christ to preach a man. And that's what we've just seen. Our responsibility is that we go into our conference. So we will do that. Brother Philip, would you offer a word of prayer?